I ask you to be patient with us this morning. Every microphone we've had, the batteries have been dead. And I believe that helps me with my message this morning. And I went and gave Brother Robert one of the wireless mics that we had up here, and it was dead, Brother Robert. That's the reason I went back. And we finally found some batteries, got this one going, but it is good to be here in the house of the Lord. How many glad you're saved? Amen. Let me go ahead and tell you, so you're not wondering. It's 2 minutes till 12. Y'all all right if I preach for a little while? Amen. I hope you are. I'm going to preach anyways. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And it is a blessing to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. And I appreciate His Spirit. I appreciate His goodness. I appreciate His mercy and His grace. Brother Kenny, that ought to be marked in your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I was using Brother Kenny's Bible back there going through some stuff, and I left it marked for him, amen? And I appreciate you being here this morning. I appreciate what the Lord's done, how He's kept us all safe, how He's brought us back to His house one more time. And this is the fifth Sunday of January. Hard to believe we're in 2016, and we've already got a month out of the way. 11 left. I'm telling you, Thanksgiving's a month away, and Christmas is 6 weeks. Amen. That's how quick it goes. That's how quick it'll be here upon us. But I do appreciate the Lord this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 32. If you found your place, you're physically able, I'd ask you if you would stand with us for the reading of the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now, there's a lot that we've got to cover this morning. There's a lot that to preach, but we're going to be mindful of what the Lord would have us to do. Look with us in verse 36 of Deuteronomy chapter 32. The Bible says, "For the Lord shall judge His people and repent Himself for His servants when He seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank You for this day, and Lord, I thank You for this time and one more opportunity to be here in Your house. And God, I'm so thankful for the choir, and God, I'm thankful for these young ones. Lord, as they stood and sung, God, many are bashful and shy, and Lord, I pray that You bless them greatly. Lord, I pray for this church in this time. Lord, I realize we're appointed to be here, and God, I realize that You're in the midst this morning, and Lord, I don't want to be a hindrance, and God, I don't want to be a hurt, but God, I want Your Spirit to roam free. God, I pray for that Holy Ghost. Lord, if they any preaching, God, that it be done, and it'll have to be Your sweet Spirit through us. God, I'm just clay. Lord, I pray that You'd forgive us, God, of all the things we may have seen or thought or even spoke, or God, that our hands have dwelled in sin. Lord, I pray that You'd have mercy upon us. God, I pray that Your grace would abound in this place this morning. God, anoint us fresh with Your fresh oil. Lord, we love You and thank You for all You've done. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. You can be seated this morning. As we're coming in Deuteronomy chapter number 32, we've got to get an understanding. If you went back to Deuteronomy chapter number 29, you'll see God begin to speak to Moses. And Moses recorded the words down. And as he came into chapter number 30, God was speaking directly to Moses to deliver a message to His people. In chapter number 31, you'll see Joshua with Moses. And God tells them to go down to the tabernacle and present themselves. And you'll see a cloud or a pillar there over the tabernacle, and God begins to speak to Joshua. You'll see in chapter number 31 that God begins to tell Moses that He's not going to enter in to the land flowing with milk and honey. But He commands Joshua, the son of Nun, that he'll take over the children of Israel. And as he begins to speak to Joshua, I can almost imagine as God was speaking to these men there in the tabernacle of hosts, He was speaking to Moses, and He began to tell Moses that these people, when you die, are going to go a-whoring after other gods. They're going to turn their back on different things. And I really believe, without a shadow of a doubt, if I'd been Joshua and God was speaking to us and He told me how the people was going to go, I really believe in my heart this morning I would have turned and went a different direction. I believe I'd have left it alone and said, that's enough. I just ain't going to do it because they're going to rebel against us. Can I say to you this morning, whatever the world does is what the world's supposed to do. What sinners do is what sinners is supposed to do. But might I say to you this morning, you are not based your race and your circumstances with God on what the world is doing. Can I say to you this morning, if the world's dying and going to hell, that means you ain't got to die and go to hell this morning. And can I say to you from the bottom of my heart, I love you this morning. I don't care if they're out there sinning and fornicating and whatever they may do. A child of God doesn't have to participate with that. Amen. Can I say to you, just because we're part of the world, that doesn't mean that we're of the world this morning. And God had spoke to Joshua and Moses there in chapter 31. And Moses comes to the people of Israel. And I want you to notice some things when he comes through this. He begins to talk about them waxing fat. And he begins to talk about them, their wealth are growing, and their hearts are growing. And then he begins to talk about the foolish things that they do. And can I say, I'm trying to hurry through this to bring our message this morning, but he begins to talk about how they turn against God. Once they were, he was a rock of salvation. Once he was the one that they depended upon. And once he was the one that they led on. And Moses takes them, if you'll go back to chapter 29, Moses tells them to remember he was a God that brought them out of Egypt. He was the God that led them across the barren ground. He was the God that led them through the wilderness, and their clothes didn't wax old, and their shoes didn't wax old. And he tells them to remember these things. But we come into chapter 32 this morning, and I believe in my honest opinion this morning, we often say, what's the saddest verse in the Bible? And how some folks would say that it's there in John, where Jesus wept, and they would begin to point that out. And some this morning would probably say, well, preacher, the saddest verse is over in Revelation chapter number 20 and chapter 21, where we see the great white throne judgment and God separating the people and those being called out of hell and being cast in the lake of fire. You'd say, preacher, I believe that's the saddest verse in the Bible. Can I argue with you this morning as I came down to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 36, my friend, I believe for a child of God, that's the saddest verse that you can have. Because if you notice in that verse, God says he'll judge his people and he'll repent himself of his servants when he's seen that their power is gone. I want to preach to you just simply on this thought, when the power is gone. Can I say to you this morning, we're living in a day and age where the church has lost its power. Amen. Go ahead. That's all right. Some of you, I'm going to skin you right here real quick. We're going to go on. Can I tell you this morning, the church has lost its power. And can I tell you this morning, the men of God have lost their power. And can I, let me go a little bit further. The deacons have lost the power. And if the pastor's lost the power and the church has lost the power, can I tell you this morning, the Christians have lost the power. And let me say to you this morning, it's a sad, sad day when the church has lost the power. And might I say to you right here in this nation, there are some churches that are telling you, they're shouting it out, they're doing this and they're doing that. I think that's wonderful, but let me ask you, what difference in the community are they making? Let's go ahead and lay it out there this morning so we can preach. I can shout with the best of them, brother. He's a God that saved my unworthy soul. He saved me from the depths of hell. He saved me from the great white throne judgment and from the lake of fire. He took me out of sin and washed my sins white as snow. And boy, I praise His holy name for that. But can I tell you, we're living in a day and age where Christians are powerless. We're weak. We don't have the ability to do the things we once done. And as we've come into chapter number 32, you can say right now, preacher, we should have just said, don't preach, we're going home when you got to this point. But can I say to you this one, I believe this is what God has. I'm going to be honest with you, I have wrestled and fought with this message for over 2 weeks. And I've meditated upon it, Brother Chuck, and I've thought upon it. I honestly believe, Brother Gwen, that I've read through the book of Deuteronomy twice to make sure what God's laid on my heart. And I sat back there in the sound booth, and I read the five chapters before and read the chapter after. I sat in my office this morning and I studied and meditated upon the Word of God. But can I tell you this morning, I believe we're living in a day and age that we can recognize that the power of God ain't in the church house anymore. And it's a sad day. The Bible teaches us there are some things that happen that cause them to lose their power. And I want to help you this morning on just a few of them. You can lose the power, number one, when God ain't your God no more. Can I tell you real quick, listen to me. These were the children of Israel. These were the apple of God's eye. These are the ones that God sent Christ to die for. He sent Him first for the Jew and then the Gentile. These were the ones that God has wanted to help. These are the ones that God had desired to be with. And He comes into chapter 32 and verse number 36 and He said they've lost the power. They've lost His anointing. If you'll figure that out real quick, they started going and whoring after other gods. They started finding other things that took the place of God. They started debating whether they was really following. You remember when Moses went up on the mount and he was dealing there in holy ground and I was speaking to God. And while he was gone, the prophets, Aaron and them, had got all the gold together and had made a molten calf. Do you remember that? They got worried about Moses that he wasn't coming back. And Brother Odin, they started making him a molten calf. Can I help you right here real quick this morning? There's a lot of churches that ain't got God anymore. Number one, let me say this. I am your preacher. I am your pastor. I am not your God. Let's get that clear off. These preachers that are coming in to preach Jubilee, I think it's wonderful. I love Brother Shelton. He can preach as good as any preacher across this country. He can preach with the power of God. I love Brother Mark and Brother Joe. These men can preach. I love Brother Bud and Brother Allen. But these men are not God. There's a lot of churches worship the pastor, not God. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just a servant of God. I'm just one that is sent to deliver the message that God's laid on my heart. Let me help you real quick right here. There ain't nothing good about me. If you enjoy a message, thank God for it. Some of you ain't going to like this message today, so blame me for it. But it was sent by God. But there's a lot of folks think they're preachers or God. You say preacher, there ain't no such way. There's a lot of preacher followers in this country. There's a lot that the preacher left this church and he's going over here to pastor this church and we're just going to go over here because we got fed. Can I help you real quickly? I ain't feeding every one of you. You got to bring your own plate and fork to the table. Amen? And if God was to speak to me and tell me to leave from here and He designed another church for me to pastor, it's not your place to go with me. And there's a lot of folks that do those sorts of things. And let me tell you, I don't have any power on my own. I don't have the ability to do the things that God has. But there's a lot of people follow the preacher. Number one, God is not God. Number one, the choir is not God. I think we got a wonderful choir right here. I think it's just wonderful, and I think we need some choir practices between now and Jubilee to learn some new songs. I think that's wonderful. But the choir is not our God. The deacons are not our God. The church is not our God. Something happens as people go to church at a place for a while. They begin to believe that they own entitlement to the church. They believe, well, bless God, that's my church. No, this ain't your church. I don't care if you've been here 3,500 years. This is not your church. These are not your pews. This is not your carpet. This is not your building. This is Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle, the church that is designated to meet and worship a holy God. Amen. And there's a lot of folks worship the church more than they worship God. I just think our green carpet's lovely, don't you? Amen. Don't y'all dry up on me now. I think we've got I think we've got one of the nicest facilities in this area. And we've got plenty of room, and we've seen it grow over the past 4 or 5 years. We've seen it leap, and we've seen people come in, and we've still got a lot of room left to grow, don't you? Amen. Amen. Here one of y'all start talking about, well, we need to put new pews in. No, we just need to wear out the ones that y'all ain't been sitting on. You've been sitting on the same pew for 35 years. There's one right here that ain't nobody sat on in at least the past 8. Right. Trade her out. Right. Amen. The church is not to be worshipped. I think it is a very nice place. But when the rapture happens, this is still going to be here. When the Lord sends His Son to bring us home, these pews still going to be here. These microphones are still going to be here. These bricks are still going to be here. Hey, the saved will be living with Christ, the church. Amen. Number one, God is not God. Can I help you real quick? Number one, the preacher is not your God. Deacons ain't your God. The Sunday school teachers ain't your God. The church ain't your God. And might I say to you this morning, football ought not be our God. Right. Well, we are on point one. We got a long ways to go. Hunting ought not be our God. Fishing ought not be our God. Baseball ought not be our God. Four-wheelers ought not be our God. Boy, y'all drying up real quick, ain't you? Hallelujah. Food ought not be our God. And you see what happened to the children of Israel. They had some other important things that took the place of Jehovah. And might I say to you this morning, in my heart, Brother Gwynn, I realize God was giving this to Moses and to Joshua to share with the children of Israel. But I think even more evident, I'm a New Testament preacher. I believe in the New Testament. I believe some of the Old Testament is designated for the church of today. And I believe in Deuteronomy chapter number 32, when he begins to speak about the children of Israel, getting their priorities out of order, getting their life out of order, and getting their new gods in their life and their new desires. I believe he was speaking to the year of 2016, to the country, or churches across this country, that they need to keep God first in their life. And can I say to you this morning, they lost the power because they didn't put God number one. Number two, they lost the power because of sin. Wouldn't y'all like it this morning if you could pray a prayer right now and you've seen immediate action? That was a day and age. We're going somewhere with it. There was a day and age when people would pray and the Spirit of God would fall. There's been days around Rhonda Tabernacle when people would gather around a rock altar on Monday nights and begin to beg God and begin to call out on God and begin to seek His face and praying for the sick and praying for the church and praying for things around here. And the Spirit of God would come down and begin to meet with people around that rock altar and begin to bless their hearts. And you'd begin to see prayers get out. And there's been a day when there was power in prayer. But we're living in a time this morning where prayer is not that important anymore. You know why it's not that important? Because we have to spend 30 minutes straightening our life before we can talk to God. Amen, brother. I'll be honest with you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go talk to no man in a box. I don't want to come up here and tell you to confess your sins to me. But I can bow my head and get on my face before an almighty God. I don't have to tell my wife, Brother Joy, what I've done or what I've not done. I don't have to tell a deacon what I've done or what I've not done. and I can get on my face before an almighty God, a righteous God, a holy God, and I can begin to call out on Him, and He can begin to look into my heart and begin to bring those sins up to remembrance. I can start confessing to Him and pleading the blood with Him, and God will clean my life up and God will straighten me up. But might I say to you this morning, hey, it's just like that snow and the earth and the mud and the mire comes up in it. Hey, you're still white in places, but you're filthy on the edges. Can I tell you this morning, sin has took our power. Let's be honest. I've dealt with situations in churches that I should have never dealt with. Brother Johnny, I'm too young to deal with some of this. Here, let me help you, all right? I'm too young and you too old to deal with what we've had to deal with, ain't you?
Amen.
Let's just be honest. Some of you this morning, y'all had to deal with situations that no man ought to have to deal with. No woman have to deal with. You've had things happen in your family that you should have never had to deal with. You've had things happen in your home that you should have never had to deal with. My wife made a statement up here this morning during the choir singing, talking about a little bit of sin. Can I tell you, a little bit of sin will turn into a whole lot of sin. And a whole lot of sin will turn into a great big sin. And a great big sin will turn into a great big old mess. And this morning, can I tell you the reason the church has lost the power? Because we don't preach anymore against sin. I'm just going to lay this honest right out here to you this morning. The reason our church has lost power, preachers are afraid to preach against sin. And you know, let me just go with this a little further. Preachers can't preach on it because they live in it. How many of y'all want to hear a preacher preach on y'all to be faithful if they ain't never come into the house of the Lord? How many of you want to hear a preacher preach to you about getting in your book and carrying your Bible and getting in there and studying when the preacher ain't carrying his Bible or getting in the book? How many of you want to hear a preacher preach on going on visitation and they ain't going on visitation? Boy, I just wiped half of Wilkes County's preachers right off the board right there. I'm just going to be honest with you. We live in a day and age. We've got sorry in the house of God. Well, I ain't got time to go visiting. I ain't got time to go check on the elderly. I ain't got time to do this. I ain't got time to do that. That's why we've lost our power. Let's just be straight. That's why we've lost our power. You see, we've got everything else going on in our life except God. We got everything else going on in our life. We just don't have time for God. There was a time in the churches across America when somebody got sick, the church people went over and checked on them. Any of y'all remember them days? That was a time in the church house when things needed to be done that it just got took care of. Amen. I told you I'll dry up on me when we got through this. I'm trying to help you. We're going somewhere. That was a time when somebody was hungry, church people fixed the meal and carried it to them. Brother Gwynn blessed my heart the other day on the phone. Tickled me to death because very rarely you hear this anymore. I'm going to be honest with you. That snow, you would have thought nobody was getting out for 6 years. There was enough bread and pintos and milk and syrup and stuff bought. I bought a loaf of bread a week ago, and it was guaranteed fresh for 2 weeks. I ain't bought a bread like that in a long time. Usually it's about out 3 or 4 days. There was people buying stuff. Brother Gwynn, you probably sent trunk loads of food. They knew they wasn't getting out. Me and my wife do our normal grocery shopping on Thursday evening. That's usually when we go. And we went to Walmart, and they was fighting over jelly donuts, I think. Cans of pinto stuff. But Brother Gwynn said something. He said, "Preacher, if anybody needs anything, let me know. I'll go get it for them." There was a time when people did those things. They made time for others. They made time for their brothers and sisters. Can I say to you right now, we don't want anything to do with anybody around us. Can I tell you? Book of James says, if a man hates his brother, the love of God's not in him.
And we're supposed to be hospitable to one another. We're supposed to help one another. We're not supposed to tear people down. We're not supposed to rip people up. We're not supposed to chew people up and spit them out or talk about them. We're supposed to love them and help them. Amen. Let's move on real quickly. They lost the power because of sin. They lost the power because God wasn't God. They lost their power because of disobedience. I want you to think about something. God told you to do something. You didn't do it. You went home miserable. For the next several days of your life, you was angry on the inside. You was disappointed on the inside. Then you called out on God and said, God, if I've done something wrong, forgive me. But you can't remember being disobedient to God. I'm going to be honest with you. Me and my daddy get along good as long as I listen to what he says. Brother Joy, me and my wife get along great as long as I do what she says. Some of you women are all amen right there. Some of you men ought to bow your head and say, God, help me. Because you think you big and bad and you more henpecked than a woman sitting beside you. Amen. But you know what? God's small voice begins to speak to us on the inside. He begins to talk to us. He begins to, why don't you just stand up and brag on Him? Why don't you go down to the altar and get help? Why don't you tell such and such what God's done for you? When you're down on the job, hey, why don't you tell them about your church service on Sunday? And all of a sudden you swell up and you said, I ain't doing that. I ain't going to do that. And for the next so many days of your life, you was miserable because you were disobedient. And can I say to you, our disobedience has cost us the power. What happened to the time when it didn't matter what anybody thought? When God's Spirit began to pour out and you were sitting in your pew and you were sitting where you were at and God's Spirit began to pour out on your life and you began to talk about His blessings. You began to share the joy that was within you. You began to remember back down there in Egypt how you was in bondage and how you was tied up and how sin had a hold of your life and you were miserable and it was running your life and how you remember God coming in and setting your soul free and leading you out of that place and now you just don't feel like it. The reason we've lost our power is because of our disobedience. You say, preacher, where are we going with this? I want you to notice what happens at the end of chapter 32. I want you to pay attention. Verse number 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain of Abram, into Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. And die in the mount whither thou goest, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Because ye transgressed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zion, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel, yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither into the land which I give the children of Israel. Now we say, boy, that's bad. Moses led them out of Egypt. He led them 40 years in the wilderness. He spoke to them, and God tells Moses, go up on the mountain. You're going to get a look into the land that you've wanted to go to. You're going to get the look into the land of Canaan, but because you sinned, you're not going to make it. You're going to die. Just a couple of chapters over, you'll see Moses obeying God. Moses was 120-some years old, I think. Ain't that right there? 120-some years old. Moses died. There was a generation of Israel that died in the wilderness. There was a new generation coming on, and they'd lost the power. I'm going to be real honest with you this morning. I'm not here to be mean or not here to hurt you. There's a generation of Ronda Tabernacle getting to go on. Let's be honest. Let's face reality. There's a lot of silver-haired saints sitting here in the house of God. There's a lot of them. God's going to start calling them home here before long. There's a lot of them that does all the cleaning. There's a lot of them that takes care of the meals. There's a lot of them that takes care of the things. There's a lot of them can sit here and remember those days when the Spirit of God began to move and you could feel the power within the house of God and sinners would come in and find themselves an old-fashioned altar begging and pleading God and begging them to save them. Hey, they felt the power. But there's a generation coming on now that's lost it. Let's be honest. Let's go ahead. Let's be real on you Sunday. I'm just going to shoot as straight as I can. There's a couple of deacons that's going to go on, Brother O'Dine. They go see people in the hospitals and check on people. There's going to be the younger ones that's got to step up. There's going to be some Sunday school teachers that's going to go on. There's got to be some younger ones step up. There's going to be some cleaning that's going to need to be done and they're going to go on. Somebody has got to step up. There's going to be some of the backbone of the church that's not here on Monday nights. Somebody's got to step up. Can I help you real quick? I ain't but 30 years old. But there's going to be some young preachers that need to step up and preach with power. I have been told working with younger preachers I'm too hard on them. They ought to have ministered under my father. Daddy said, you want a place to preach? Go beat the bushes, boy. I remember, I'm going to be honest with you. We got, not talking about you little boys sitting here, Troy and Joe, don't you get all rifled up. But we got a group of younger preachers running around and they throw their chest back and they're the preacher. I'm going to be honest with you. I've done a whole lot of preaching in my deer stand, Brother Joy, while I was waiting on an open door. There was a lot of revivals that was going on, Brother Ty, that I wanted places to go preach and nobody knew who I was and whether my girlfriend went with me or not or whether I was by myself. And I knew Daddy wasn't going to go. Daddy was pastoring a church. Daddy had a pulpit. If I wanted to share the gospel, I had to get out and go and visit places. Can I tell you something right here? And again, boys, don't y'all take this wrong. This is preaching. I don't owe a young preacher anything to preach in my pulpit. When they come walking in, there's one, and if I called his name, you think he comes strutting in the house of God, his Bible tucked, he wants everybody to see him. I'm going to be honest with you. My wife will tell you, I wanted to meet Brother Donnie Shoemate. I'd heard a lot about him. They was having a revival. And I told Daddy, I said, I'm going over to Bethel. And Anna said, look, I'll go with you. Brother Joy, I didn't go walking in there and come and flop down on the front pew. Some of y'all say, preacher, you preaching too hard. Brother John, I didn't go walking up through there like I owned the joint. I got my wife and we sat down on the back pew. I didn't go up to Brother Donnie and say, hello, Brother Donnie. I'm Brother Josh Blevins. I'm a young preacher out of Double Creek Baptist Church. And if I could ever be of service to you, here you are. No, I went sitting on the back pew. I didn't think nobody would know me. The only man that was there was Tim Blevins and his wife. He serves as a deacon there at Bethel. And they were sitting way on up front. And there was Brother Justin Blevins, a preacher. He's a youth minister there at Bethel right now. He was sitting all the way up. And there was a group of preachers sitting up on the front pews. And we sat down on the back pew. You said, why'd you do that? I just wanted to go to church. I wanted to meet the preacher. I'd heard him preach on the radio. I'd heard him preach at other places, but I wanted to meet him. Brother Gwynn, I slipped back there and I sat down on the back pew. There was a lot of folks come by, shook my hand, didn't ask who I was, glad to see me, glad I was there. At the end of the service, Brother Donnie was standing up there. He said, we got another Blevins preacher here tonight. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, I appreciate you being sensitive and not wanting to be anything but sitting back there on the back. He said, I want you to come up and I want you to say a little bit and I want you to pray for us. Didn't know my first name until I walked in the pulpit. Can I say something to you? There was a lot of times I went to the nursing home and preached to them old people. There was at one point in time I was going to Dobson and preaching on the radio. Well, I ain't got the money for that. You want a place to preach? I had to preach. You say, well, how'd you afford all that? There's a lot of men of God knew that I wanted to preach that went in. Daddies went over there with me. Oddest thing you'll ever do in your life is go in a little room with one glass, a microphone, and a pulpit, and a little light up there that's green and one that's red. And all of a sudden you'll be standing there and it might be your 1 o'clock preaching time. And the little green light will flip on. There's a man sitting there with headphones and he'll go, you got to let it rip.
Right.
Knowing there's no telling how many people sitting by radio listening. They might only been 5 people listening at radio, Brother Gwynn, but I wanted to be an encouragement to them. And they'd flip that light on and for the next 30 minutes, it was mine. You say, preacher, what'd you preach about? God. I didn't have somebody sitting there, hey man, preacher, preach it. It was just me and the Holy Spirit and a microphone in a room. But you preach. We've got a generation coming on today. They're too good for those things. We've got a group of young people coming on. They're too good to step up and clean the toilet. They're too good to clean up the fellowship hall. They're too good to do the work of the place. But Moses was getting ready to leave. He went and met with Joshua in chapter 32, and God began to tell him in those first few verses, it's going to be a wicked people. It's going to be a wicked generation. They're going to go whoring after other gods. Could you imagine Joshua sitting there and said, it can't be that bad. We're going to the land of milk and honey. This generation's died out. It's going to be all gravy. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be good. But they done lost the power. How many of y'all remember them days when the Holy Ghost would move and grannies would shout and throw their bonnets? How many of y'all remember the days when daddies would stand up and just wave at the Lord? When people was in the altar crying and begging over sinners to get saved. Generation dying out. You know the reason we have to talk about them old-timey revivals? Because ain't none of them happening today. You know why? We've lost our power. You know why they ain't ten people just driving in the parking lot ain't never been here getting in the altar and getting saved this morning? Because we lost our power. I like to feel the Holy Spirit of God move. But you know what I like even better? Is walking up and seeing Brother Joy. And every time I see him, he's always glowing. I don't know if he's got high blood pressure or what. But he's glowing. And you can see God on him. First thing when he came through the door, he was smiling and we was talking about the shepherd's household. And I don't know these young men, but I'm glad they're here this morning. And he was talking about they'd been praying and was dealing with some things. But you know what? He had a smile on his face. You could tell he had been with God. Right. You know what's sad? We come to church on Sunday mornings and you got more that ain't been with God than you do that has been.
Amen.
Preacher, I ain't got time. You won't get the power. You won't get power. Preacher, I've got all this other stuff going on. You ain't going to get the power. I don't know about you, but I want power in my life. How many, be honest in here, how many this morning wants power in your life? You know what you got to do, don't you? Put Him number one. Quit running around doing what you're doing. Quit messing with the stuff you're messing with. Get back in focus with God. You remember that night you got saved, or that morning you got saved when you walked out of the church house? And you could hold your head up and you had a smile on your face. And boy, you knew that everything was going to be all right. You knew that everything was going to work out just right. You was eager. You couldn't wait to get back to church that night because you knew something was going to happen. I mean, it come Wednesday night. You couldn't wait to get back to the house of God because you wanted to be in the presence of God. You wanted to be in that place. What happened? You lost your power. You lost your power. Used to say this, everybody said, well, I was riding down the road and I told the devil to get out of this car. He laughs at you now. You know that? He laughs at you. You know what he does? He don't get out of the car. He just hush up for a little while. Get right with God. Get God back in focus. And I promise you, you'll have power. Amen. You know what this church needs? We don't need a revival. We don't need a jubilee. We just need to pray for the power of God to come in this place. We need to pray that God will just start moving. God's Spirit would abide in our life. God's power would be on our life every step we went. Hey, can I tell you something? How sick it had to be for those children of Israel to see the power of God cause them to walk across on dry ground, to see the power of God kill the firstborn of Egypt, to see the power of God falling and guiding them in the wilderness, and God finished, to know that it was gone. You know what scares me? What's the church going to be like when Brooklyn's my age? Where's the church headed? Where's the church going to be? This is you Sunday, isn't it? We need a young generation to come on. Ty, we need to pray for you. We need young men like you that'll tote the gospel. We need young men like Troy that'll tote the gospel. Young women like Carrie that dresses modest. And when she comes to church, and Miss Steffi, we need a younger generation like Miss Kinley that just comes, even when mom and dad can't come, still here. We need a younger generation to see the power. But you know what? We got to get back to where he's at. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Nobody looking around as Miss Jody comes.